It's a good recording. It's all very clear. I think your picture's clearer than mine. And mine's on my fancy little bloody computer, but I can't not backlight it. And there we go. I don't know what I've done. There it is. There you go.
Yeah, just stand like that the whole time.
Yeah. How was Adepticon?
Good. Good. Very, very That's exhausting.
Say what?
Ryan was a workhorse.
Yeah. Ryan's a good guy, isn't he? Good. Well done, Brian.
Oh, thank you.
It seemed to be a great event. It seemed to be like back to as it was, you know? Everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves. There was good numbers.
Yeah.
Everyone was busy. We're running lots of demos. Mancing Night looked like good fun. The tournaments were great. You know, 30 at 26 at Armada, 50 at Kings of War. I thought it was really nice.
Yeah, no, the tournaments went great. And
good.
Yeah, so just recovering a little bit. Go ahead.
I wish I'd been there for more than 3 hours.
Right, okay. So, good, what are we chatting about today?
So,
well, we're chatting about you, because you're bringing us Dungeon Saga Origins.
Sure am. Yeah, how do you want to do it? Are you you're not recording already, are you?
It is recording, but I'll chop out things that aren't relevant.
I'll be up to us.
Okay, fine. Okay. I hadn't put my best podcast voice on to this point, so I'll start with the polished performances from now.
Well, no worries, because we're really bad about saying, you know, this is Dead Zone the podcast, and I'm Brian.
I'm Rich.
There we go. Yeah. And I'm Roddy.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
Joins us today.
I know your introduction, so there we go. Okay.
Yeah, we always do it like after the person's been talking for quite a while, so.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I forgot I've broken the fourth wall now, so they're gonna hear how it comes. Good. Okay.
No, it's all good. So how have you been, Ronnie?
Yes.
Sorry, I got two questions at the same time.
Go ahead, Rick.
All right, Brian.
We're also courteous to one another.
Yeah.
But you know, being courteous at exactly the same time, so you talk over each other. So.
Yep. So thank you for coming on the podcast, Ronnie. You've got a lot of exciting stuff that was both, you know, obviously we're going to be talking about Dungeon Saga Origins, which is a Kickstarter that's going to be launching, I think, the day of? That this podcast is going to come out tomorrow.
If the podcast goes up tomorrow, then it goes up tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the same day.
Yep.
If it goes up Friday, it was yesterday. If it goes up today, it's tomorrow. So there you go. Work it out.
Weebly wobbly timey wimey.
The 30th of March at 3 p.m. GMT, so kind of 10 o'clock Eastern.
All right.
Nice.
Earlier than that, if you're further across the U.S.
So what is Dungeon Saga Origins?
Yeah. So Dungeon Saga Origins is us going back to Dungeon Saga, which we loved, and it's been very popular and has never been out of print since we launched it in 2015. And looking a year or two ago and saying, we really want to do more stuff for this in this genre, but looking at the plastics, which were sculpted in 3D, you know, not in 3D, they were sculpted in green stuff, you know, and we then put them into plastics and we were learning how to make good PVC models at the time. No one was really doing it at the standards that we wanted to go at. We made a load of terrain, we made some good adventures, we gave you hundreds of little bits of card to build really complicated dungeons. And for all of its faults, it's gone on to sell tens and tens of thousands of units. It's much loved. But there's errors. There's things that we can do better now, put it that way. There's things that, given more time and more experience, better engineering, 3D sculpting, better printing partners, better writers, more time, we can do a whole lot of it better. And that's what this is. It's just going back and saying, we're miniature gamers. We love a miniature game. I think a lot of games that come to Kickstarter have miniatures in them, but they are not miniature games. They're board games with some kind of miniatures. Ours are war games, cooperative or otherwise, but we're fundamentally toy soldier people, and it's that gets us, the visuals and the gameplay mechanics of that are what get us excited and what people liked about Dungeon Saga. And it's got all that, but it's what we've managed to do is take out rules that didn't work or limiting factors on the Overlord to make each part of it more fun, more slick, so that the bits that you want to do, like fighting the heroic moments, the oh my god, I can't believe I've just rolled three ones moments, and come round more often. It doesn't care if you roll three ones when you're knocking a door down, because all it does is delays you for another turn.
Yeah.
So you know what, if you want to get up to a door, just open it, unless we tell you it's locked. Just open it, because what we've decided is what's on the other side of the door is going to be a lot more dangerous than a boring smacking of against the door.
Than the door itself.
So, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Go through the, if we want you to smash it down, there'll be some reason for it, but we're trying to delay you because zombies are coming at you or something like that. So we took a boring mechanic out, replaced it with a fun one, and then put cool things on the other side. And because you're not now rolling dice, pissing around opening doors, you can now search a room. Mm-hmm. And you might find a secret passageway. Or you might, and if you don't find a secret passageway, in other words, if we haven't put something there, you go over to your exploration deck and you take a random card. So every single time you play this same level, you're not going to have, you're going to have the baddies in the same place, but you're also going to have different random events. This time I get gold. Next time I get another attack. Next time I get this. Next time I get, you know, a wandering monster.
Nice.
So all of a sudden we've taken out the mechanics that were slow and clunky, cleaned them up, and then added a whole new phase in, which is exploration.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to balance it more. We've given you, instead of six adventures per book, I think it was, or six to eight, 10. Every book has 10 adventures.
Wow.
We've cleaned up the progression, so your equipment, your feats, how tough you get. So all of these things are just making a better game experience so that we can then build on this for the next 10 years. Here's three double-sided art tiles, put the rubble and put the doorways here. You've now got all the complexity of a massive dungeon with a fraction of the setup time. Because I don't know about you, but when I wanted to play with my kids, I don't want to spend 2 hours putting all the bits together and then they'll come across the table, nudge the table, and all the pieces scatter everywhere.
And everything goes everywhere.
Yeah,
you
know? Correct.
Yeah, we got cats, so that'll happen
exactly,
for sure.
That does it. That'll do it. Yeah, and they're sometimes nearly as bad as children. So, yeah. So we just cleaned it up, and then the base game's coming out. That'll come out to retail. What you're going to get in the Kickstarter is all of the base game, let's say $60, plus all of the Goblin expansion. The first game is Undead, so you've got 10 adventures, Undead. You're getting to learn why Undead, because everyone knows what a zombie is. Everybody knows what a skeleton is. Here's a skeleton archer. Here you go and upgrade your original game if you want to. You know, if you want to go back and replay your adventures with these new models, you know, you've got them. But it's just a kind of generic stepping on point for everybody. And then goblins. Why? Because now it's just a little bit, it's a nice counterpoint. They're classics. There's a bit of humour. They've got huge big weapons. But our luggage, you know, all those things that we built, more pups. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you get a little bit, you know, goblins, but you get a little bit of Mantic. You get a little bit of Panathor. A little bit of that humour, a little bit of that. Another 10 scenarios, the glimmer of greed, away you go, you're now levelling up, you're now getting more equipment. By the end of two, and it is one and two, it is Undead first, Goblin second, because by the end of that, you'll probably have something for each slot. And in your slot, you're allowed helmet, you're allowed armour, you're allowed a weapon, you're allowed a shield type thing. You can get some buffs and some upgrades. Then later on, you start picking which one you're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
or you start getting some legendary items. And so then scenario 3 and 4, and you can kind of play these in a bit more reversible level. So if you think levels 1 to 5, 5 to 10, and then these two are kind of 10 to 20, but you can do them in whichever order you want. You've got abyssal dwarfs. So now you're getting baddie dwarfs. Everyone knows what a dwarf is. Okay, but these are the Panithor ones. These are the baddie ones. These are evil. Beautiful sculpts. I mean, wow, amazing. And then you've got Twilight King, which, of course, great fun for the Kings of War community because it's a little bit of a hint of what's coming. But absolutely, it's also baddie elves. It's a classic trope to anybody that's, you know, done D&D. I want to play a D&D campaign with my kids, my nieces, my nephews, you know, my board game group. You know, and that's what it's kind of designed for. It doesn't have to be your war games group. Mm-hmm. It can be, and you will love it. But it can also be that board game group. It can also be your kids. It can also be, you know, that scout group. You can take this game and go, right, who's playing the barbarian? Me. Right, who's playing the dwarf? Who's playing the elven ranger? Great, who's playing the wizard? Okay, let's go. Let's get on the table. And you've got classic tropes, slick gameplay, cinematic moments. Everything's done for you. It's all there. One-piece minis. Don't have to paint them. Can if you want.
Awesome.
Of course you
are. So, that's Dungeon Saga. Bam, bam, bam.
That sums it up pretty quick. So, is there to be like character expansions as well?
Yeah. So what we've got, what we tried to do with this is we said, you know what? Let's not go mad. Let's just get the core absolutely brilliant. So let's give you 80 plus minis. Let's give you 40 adventures, and at 1 to 2 hours each, that's 100 hours of gameplay. Playing it once, you know, not even doing any of it again. Not even failing it, so you have to do it again. You've got your 4 core adventures, you've got your 80 minis, so you're at like $1 a mini. just over, you know, $1.25 a mini, and you're getting the gameplay for free, and you're getting the tiles for free, or 100 hours of gameplay, so you're at, you know, $1.25 per hour of gameplay, and you've got 100 miniatures for free. You know, whichever way you come at this, it's great value, and that's what we kind of really wanted to get the basics right, because then we can add on and add on. And what we're going to do, we're not even going to do stretch goals, we're not going to play that game, we're just going to have daily reveals. Every day we're just going to give you something else. Come back tomorrow, find out what we've added. If you like it on day one, you're going to love it on day 16. If you love it on day one, you're going to be dancing down the street naked on day 16. Because we're just going to keep adding things in every day. Their only stretch goals are a digital upgrade, where if we get over 250,000, we will build an app that will... I'm just trying to remember, this isn't the name. Oh, you can store all your character details in it.
Oh, okay.
You can just, okay. So you play your game. I'm Dan Orr. I got this legendary item. I've got 50 gold. Bop, up into the cloud. When you come back a month later... Oh, what did I have? My paper clips come off. You know, my plastic bands come off. I can't remember. What did I have? Oh, you know what? Tap, tap, tap. There we go. I've got it. Brilliant. I had 50 gold.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So just the overlord can put it all up. All the admin goes up in the crowd, comes back down again. Cloud comes back down again. Boom. So that's a real stretch goal because it's not in our tooling budget. It's not in our print run. We just need some help. Why is it on Kickstarter? We need help with the tooling. It's a big tooling project, and I need a print run. And I know I can go and get one for the retail edition. I can go out to my partners and say, how many do you want? But I suspect there's a few people out there that would like to go all the way to the end of year 2 right now. Give me 4. Give me in a beautiful box. Give me 6 extra heroes. Get me a few extra little monsters, please. Yes, I'll have all of those. Great. If you can help me with this, you can have all of that. Happy days.
For sure. And what was what's kind of the delivery date and completion? Do you guys have that kind of worked out?
December.
December?
December. So we are going to do everything in our powers to get it to you, to get it under the Christmas tree. Crudely, you know, it's a kind of kid game, and we are. Mm-hmm. So we're running the campaign 16 days. Pledge Manager opens up 2 days after we finished. It'll run to the end of April into May, into the middle of May. I'll know roughly by the end of the orders we're going to be placing, so I'll be able to, I've got the quotes, get the orders. The second we hit funding goal, we're going to put it into tooling. So tooling will be running through April. And as long as, you know, God willing and no COVID restrictions or silly like things like that, should be on a boat early September.
Excellent.
So, you know, that's we've got it all ready. Everything's written. That's, you know, one of the advantages. Oh, you're a big company. So what we are, right until the tooling bit, right until the print run bit. And also, if I ordered 2,000 and we've got 10,000 people want it, or similarly, I order 10,000 and 2,000 people want it. So I'll just ask how many people want it, and that's how many I'll build.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of like logical, you know, which is not something we normally do, but occasionally we try it.
Excellent. So I know obviously we are a bit more of a sci-fi podcast, as you can imagine.
With the Star Saga question's coming, is it?
Yeah. So it would be a knock against us if we didn't ask, like, what this might mean for Star Saga in the future, if that might get a reprint or even just a retooling.
For sure. I think I love Star Saga. I'll tell you what, for sure, we haven't finished making board games in the Warpath universe. No way, Jose. There's many, many games coming in that space. And that's kind of why we've designed a big world. And what's quite good fun is not, because ours is very, you've got Sphere 1, super clean, super neat. Sphere 2, kind of more or less functioning society. Sphere 3, Wild West. You can set different games in different spaces. You know, yeah. It's a big space. We've got a big cast. And it's a story that's going to take us, you know, a long, long time to build. But we're happy to do it. We keep writing books. We keep releasing games. I'd love to do an RPG there. And I think we'll probably get there soon enough. When we talk about other things that are coming, there's some very exciting things happening for our sci-fi universe this year. But it isn't a board game. But I certainly... Where do we go back and do Star Saga anytime soon? Don't know. Possible. Will we be definitely doing some kind of dungeon crawler in space? Yeah, for sure. Will we be doing other things in board games in space? Yes, for sure. For sure. We love it. We're not going to stop, you know, there. And I think this one will probably show us the way, because I think the dungeon crawling experience appeals to the widest number of people. You know, lots of non-Mantic players. Mm-hmm. Lots of people have never heard of Panithor or Kings of War or Dead Zone. I just think they can approach that and go, oh, goblins, barbarians. I remember Hero Quest. You know, I did that when I was a kid, and I want to do this with my kids. Yeah, that's the game. Yeah. And if you played Hero Quest recently, you go, right, it's very fond memories, but it's not a 2022, 2023 game.
Right, right.
It shows its age.
And you're right about the dungeon crawler. Like, it finds itself in kind of this Venn diagram of, you know, people that enjoy RPGs and people that enjoy, you know, miniature gaming and board gaming even. Like, it all kind of appeals to all those.
I'm trying to put it right in there. If you're a war gamer, you go, look, I'd love to play Kings of War or Dead Zone with you, but you're not ready. You might be too young, or you're not bothered about doing it. But I know we like playing games together. We played Castle Panic. We played Take It to Ride. We played some of those. How about this? It's just a little bit more, but I think you're going to enjoy the story and the narrative and the drama. Okay. If you're an RPG-er that goes, hey, I love playing D&D with my older buddies, I want to do something that's kind of D&D-like. Bang, here it is. It fits right in there. And I've got Gloomhaven, and I've got Frosthaven, and I've got them down here. I've got those huge, epic things. But I kind of need to take a run-up to build up the enthusiasm, not to remember the rules, to get it all there. I've got to have the same four people. I've got to play with the scenarios, because it's a thing that gets better as you journey along. This one, right, we're going to play two games tonight. And next week, Bob can't make it, but Jane can. Jane, it's all right. You pick up that character and carry on. And then next week, you know, Johnny can't make it, but Claire can. Okay, Claire, you pick up that one. And then, okay, and then Johnny comes back. It's all right, because it's just a nice progressive. You're a bit tougher. You remember the rules. You're going to play. You know, oh, I'm going to be the barbarian. Great. Well, the barbarian's a little bit tougher than when you last had him, but still a barbarian. Just smack my skulls. And it allows us that now we have all the concrete parts, brilliant minis, brilliant stories, the heroes, the plastics, the gameplay mechanics. If we want to then build a proper RPG light level 1 to 20 leveling up, build your own hero and play through, we can do it. Yeah. But I didn't feel right doing that with Dungeon Saga when the gameplay wasn't as good as I knew we could make it. It never got a second edition. You know, we're on third edition Dead Zone. We're on third edition Kings of War, 3.5 even. Yeah. You know, we're on second edition Firefight. We could be on, you could argue we're on fourth edition Dead Zone because Mars Attacks was
Technically, based on that.
So we beat every time we learn something, but certainly Dead Zone 2.0, very, very slick. Much better game than Dead Zone 1. Dead Zone 3 was better than 2, but not the same level of change because, you know, bang, you know, zero to first edition to second edition to third edition.
Because you're building off of all the improvements that you made along the way,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
Exactly.
It's incremental. I was doing hands on my screen, but then I realized it's a podcast, so I didn't really make
it. That's okay. We do it every time.
Yeah, yeah. The gaps between the versions gets less as they get slicker, and it becomes more about the mechanics and the fine tuning and the polishing. And you know, I know Kings of War's good when someone just goes, Abyssal dwarfs need more something, rah rah rah, they fight this way, and no one else says, no, the goblins need more of that or less of this, or your army's crap, because okay, that's good, because it just means that, you know, A, you're a crap general, and B, it's the fine tuning that is the impossible and the fun bit that makes these games there, because, you know, rock, paper, scissors, what's good against that isn't good against that. Or if someone's got your mojo, you know, and they've got an army that beats your army, how are you going to play it to change it? So I think it merits a second edition. How did we do it without dishonouring what was there? Well, actually, we've set it as a prequel. That's why it's called Origins. We've gone back and got the heroes before they go on their main mission. They're kind of scaling up. And so we've just left Dungeon Saga, the Dwarf King's Quest, totally alone. It's an homage. It is a piece. If you've played it, you remember it, you know it. You know who Mortibris is. You know what the journey is. And we've just said, you know what? That's that. That's that story. We're not rewriting the story.
Okay.
The story is the story that gets you to that story, which allows us at some point to write the Dwarf King's Quest campaign book. Go and play that here if we want to do it, if there's a clamour for it. Yeah. Or if some fan does it, we'll say, yeah, okay, you know what, let's just, someone's reworked them, here they are. But you can now play them on these tiles, you know, you can play them with that. Here's the sculpts, here's a couple of things, but we're not going to do it. It's not fair, it's not right. The story, the bit that makes it fun is the new story.
Mm-hmm.
The bit that I think is sacrosanct of Dungeon Saga original is the story. You know, and that's still canon. You know, those four guys went and fought Mortibris in that dungeon. That's what they did, and you know,
that's awesome. That's one thing. Like, I really enjoyed about Star Saga, and kind of stumbled upon it as we were like picking up one of the other expansions one time, because we were playing a Rebs. We decided to play the Rebs campaign before we finished the first one. And in the description, they're talking about the events of the Arius contract stuff. And I was like, oh, like all of these do go hand in hand. So that is a really cool element that it all, not only is it, you know, chained games that all build upon each other, but that it is, like you're saying, still canon on all the events that happened in those.
Correct, and I think that's a bit and that's the individual journey that people have been on with their gaming group, and we don't have the right to rewrite that. It, you know, okay, if we've blown the world up or something, maybe we said, oh, that's probably not the best ending if we want to keep playing in Panathor forever. But we didn't. We set you on a journey arc, and we said, look, that's your sandpit. Go play in it. That's your sandbox. And everyone has individual memories. They have the stories. They've been down that journey, and I think that needs to be respected. And because we were going back to the roots, I thought, well, actually, let's just set it before, because then that still exists later. We can retcon it, but in the right way.
Sure.
Here's the campaign played again, but in no way does it change anything that's there. But it's not this game. This game is, here's the new. And the first one is, it references that they're going to learn how to fight undead because they know Mortarbridge thing's coming. And then they carry on with their goblins, abyssal dwarfs, and
Twilight Kin. Oof.
Twilight Kin. They who shall not be mentioned.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine, out.
Well, I wanted to also say, so obviously Adepticon just happened. And in there was a Mantic Knight, where you teased some other stuff that you guys have going on. Was one that definitely sparked our interest was the mention of the subscription to do the STLs and the 3D printing things. Do you want to speak to that a little bit and what the plan is there?
So I mean, we've got a big talk about it coming up, but there's certain bits where. Let's say you're building some halflings and we can get a load of, we've got the hand weapons options on the sprue and we've got another option on the sprue, which is maybe, but if you want two-handed weapons, you have to go and buy them in resin. Now, if you ask the resin guys what they like doing is big models with four or five pieces with a big set of wings. You only have one of them in your army. It might be $50, might be a bit more, but you buy one of them, you enjoy painting it, it's a real unique thing, it's got your general on it, they like casting it, we like sculpting it, you like building it, everybody wins. You only need one of them. When we talk about it, the stalwarts or something, it's that you need to now buy these in units of 10, we give you a sprue and 30 pieces of resin, okay? 10 heads, because they've all got helmets on, 10 left arms and 10 right arms that hold in the double-handed weapon. And now it's $40 because you've got the sprue and you've got the resin, and it's 30 pieces of resin. And it's, you believe it, that's six times as hard as the great big monster I gave you. Mm. Not quite, but certainly, you know, pain in the they hate casting it. The weapons keep breaking every time you're stripping it out because you're literally taking them out of the molds with your hands and they're pulling them out. We put it in a bag. We put the bag in a box. We put the box in a thing, we send it halfway around the world, then one of the swords breaks.
Yeah.
Right.
Very frustrating for you because I can't build it. You know, no, I'm not going to do it with an Excalibur sword that's broken. So we said, you know what, there's certain things in the range that the win-win is, we'd have to produce it in resin so we could just make more cool things that are big and clunky, and you could just print them. And then someone has to then go buy four of that unit. So suddenly they give me $160 for a unit of two-handed dwarf halflings. No, I want you buying the kind of guy standing on top of the trolls shooting away, plugging away with your gun. You know, I want you, you know, those are cool skulls. That I don't want you to be buying these pieces. So you know what? Go print them. Print at home. And we're going to have a section where you add printed stuff to your plastic sprues. Yes, go and get the plastic sprues from us. You can buy a big pile of those for, you know, not a lot of money, $50, you're going to get six or eight sprues, whatever it is, get a load of sprues, and then, right, now tool them up. You know, what does your mega army give you? It gives you a whole ton of halflings.
Yeah.
A few cool things. Okay, here's a standard. You don't need it, but you want it. I want a standard for my dwarves, so I'll 3D print it. Obviously, I won't. I'll get someone to 3D print it for me, because I can't understand such things. And then you've got other things where we go, that's really hard to cast. Okay, you know what? Some people just want to turn up and go, here's $50, I want three of those. Others will say, I want 12 of these, I'll give you my subscription money, you know, $10, and I'm just going to print 12 of them at home. Okay, the person that doesn't have time, doesn't have the inclination, has paid some money, got them. Those that want to print them at home, done. And so I just think we're going to just have it. Anyone that's got a kind of all-in subscription with us at the moment will get it half price.
Okay.
Because it really is a service, and I've already asked you for a few quid, and I just said, and I said all along, it's going to get better and better. So the platinum is going to be for a couple pounds more, $4 or $5 more, you can print all orange, and every month. There's a few even bigger surprises than that, because we're going to give one of our premium prime games away. You're going to be able to print it.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to say which one, but it might involve water. And yeah, so if you go, so I'll just say, if anyone is not signed up to the Mantic newsletter, go sign up now. Go sign up right now. Do it now. Type your email address in. Click yes, send me the newsletter. Because anyone that subscribed when we come out with this announcement is going to get two free models. Totally free. You can go away and download them. You can download them as many times as you want and print them. And they might be really useful in one of our games that's getting a lot of attention right now. And they'll be riding a wave of enthusiasm over the coming weeks.
Ronnie, so, the most subtlest of bards.
Yeah. Definitely.
So if you've got decent subscription, you'll have the rules. You'll be able to download the boats. They come out every series, or every month. There's a couple more. You get a couple of months, you have a whole fleet. Play the game. Get excited about it.
Awesome.
And again, with us, we don't have plastic tooling behind it. They're hard for us to cast. They're beautiful. We love casting them. But, you know, they're expensive ships because they're hand-cast in the UK, ships around the world, beautiful sculpts. If someone can cast them at home and plays our game, great. We're happy to be playing our game, you know. And that's why we've done that Essentials kit, which has the rule book, the rubber mat, and all the counters you need for like 30, 40 bucks mm-hmm. at the moment, 25% off. Because if you happen to print them, all you need to play are the counters, the book, and the mat. And the counters give you your islands. You might be able to print your islands. So all of a sudden, those lunatic 3D printers, of which I'm sure some of the people I'm looking at might be some of those types, and get into our game. We just want people to play our games. We want you to get involved. Oh, the dice. You get the dice in it as well, because a load of D10s, and they're all color coordinated. But yeah. The app is going to let you do it. We've got other cool things. We've got I'm going to announce it in the next 2 weeks. I'm leaking like shit here. Actually, I'm going to be in trouble. But we've got a brilliant Spanish company has built a tabletop simulator of Armada with the boats in it. So you can play anytime you want, anyone else in the world, international tournaments. So while it's still a small audience and it's always growing, you can try out different fleets. You can play Oz against UK, Oz against US. You know, because there's not an audience of 20 million of them at the moment, or even 20,000 of them. But if you've got 3,000 or 4,000 players, you can go on and get a game. It's built perfectly and seamlessly. Looks beautiful. Hey, Ronnie, if I've got the Mantic Companion app, can I build an Armada fleet, send it over to Warhol, and will it appear on the gaming table? You'll have to wait and see. But the fact I'm answering that question, you can probably guess the answer. You can literally try out your fleet in your Companion app, zap it over, and then when you turn up and say, render my fleet, there's your fleet.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So that's some of the cool stuff we're doing. And so, yeah, go sign up for the newsletter. Be on the website, because you don't want to miss that, the files. And then we've just got the story. But if you're already giving us digital money, a little bit more, and you'll get access to our STLs every month. There's more and more coming. In time, we'll come back and go, hey, if you just want the Halfling army, you know, here it is. You just buy the Halfling bundle, download that. It's going to take us ages to just keep loading it and moving it out. But you're going to be playing our games. It's all going to be digital. You know, I really excited for what's coming. I think there's a real momentum.
Absolutely.
That's so cool.
is there? And I think we're just about at time, and we obviously appreciate.
Oh, well, I'll have to come back next time and tell you about all the cool sci-fi stuff we're doing then.
I was about to ask, like, do you have any sci-fi announcements?
Time. Otherwise, I'll tell you about the.
Redacted.
The next big release, we've got a whole ton of Armada stuff I've just told you about. Night Stalkers are going to hit the Kings of War. We've got some Dungeon Adventure stuff, which is our dungeon range for D&D players, because we've got some great miniatures and stuff. That's hitting retail stores. That's kind of the next quarter. the quarter after that, and the quarter after that. So, you know, August, September, October, November, December, we have two massive sci-fi things going on.
Oh, we'll definitely have to have you back on before then.
So let's tee it up. Let's leave it there, and I'll tell you that we'll be back on 6 or 8 weeks, and we'll chat about the sci-fi stuff because it's dead zone, the podcast.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Ronnie, for jumping on with us today.
It's my pleasure. Hope to see you on Kickstarter tomorrow, or yesterday, or today, depending when it goes out. But
my goal is to have it out tomorrow.
3 p.m. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. See you there.
Thank you so much, right, Ronnie.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Take care. Have a good night, everybody.
Yeah, same to you. Have a good. Bye-bye.